Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080. The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, YouTube, on Twitch for the kids. We're all about the kids here. I got the drive, chip, and putt challenge at the Masters on the TV right now.
Thanks. These guys look super young.
Thanks, Jason Swigard. This is probably just the Golf Channel or whatever left over from yesterday.
Oh, that's okay. Not the worst thing.
No. I walked in. I was like, who are these little people on the course here that are at Augusta? What's happening here?
It makes me feel bad because these kids would demolish me.
I'm pissed just watching it, too.
It's not even. They wouldn't even be close. They'd be like, oh, this old guy sucks. As they're out there just getting holes in one. They're shooting two on a par three. Like, yo.
Yeah, but then I also, I mean, I'm sure their parents are super supportive, but also I'm sure their parents are like, if you don't win this, I swear to God.
All their parents are Shooter McGavin. Guaranteed, like, oh, you have to make up for my mistakes.
Are golf parents and golf kids like the toddlers and tiaras of the sports world?
Golf and tennis, maybe?
Lacrosse, you got to throw that
lacrosse
in there.
Lacrosse is...
Condoleezza Rice is there for some reason.
These are all sports that involve a ton of money. So
wasn't Condoleezza like the U.S. treasurer? Or something like that?
Secretary of Defense? Well, and she's actually, Condoleezza Rice has also been, because of her experience in politics and in connections with sports for some reason, there was talk of like replacing Roger Goodell with Condoleezza Rice a few years ago as commissioner of the NFL. It's like, really?
I remember that.
Yeah. Dude, she could run a 4-3. You didn't know her back in her heyday of playing football.
She was probably a beast.
Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, sounds like a Mexican dish, man. I almost guarantee Condoleezza Rice was good at some sport. If we looked it up, she played college.
I think she did.
Let's browse the old internet, shall we? She went to Stanford. She played
darts for Stanford.
I bet maybe there was some crew in her.
She's got the arms for it.
She's got the upper body strength.
Very, very, very privileged sports we're talking about here. But yes, most of those kids are living out their parents' dreams.
100%. 100%. No kid wants to be out there playing golf all day. Golf is awesome. And go out and play a round of golf or even nine holes, cool. I think most 14, 15-year-olds would be good with that. But unless you absolutely love the sport and love the game, I can almost guarantee that most of these kids would rather be somewhere else. This young lady, Karis Reed, is between 12 and 13. I almost guarantee she'd rather be somewhere else doing other stuff, fun stuff with other 12-year-olds.
So I was going to talk about this later in the show, but trust me, we will get to more golf. It's Masters Week, essentially.
It's WrestleMania week too. We should probably get to that. What would Xavier Woods say if he heard you say that?
Yeah, I mean, he'd be a little upset. He wouldn't be happy with me.
P1 of the show, Xavier Woods.
By the way, guys, thank you to Alex on the YouTube chat pointing this out. Condoleezza Rice, a member at Augusta, and that jogs my memory. Go. Is she not the first female member at Augusta, like officially?
That was news a little while ago.
I mean, is she a scratch golfer? Like, why are we giving it to her?
Yes, I believe she's a big golfer.
When you're Secretary of Defense for the United States
government. Is she a scratch golfer? Like, just no handicap, just bam, is absolutely able to stripe it. Because I'd feel like the first woman, like, accepted into Augusta should be, like, a professional golfer. Not some chick who's somehow able to weasel her way into the college football playoff committee, Augusta.
Sorry, and that was a decade ago. It was announced in 2012 that she was announced as one of the first of two women to be admitted at Augusta National. And I believe it says her handicap is listed at that time. The February 2023 article said it was 11.6.
All right, I buy that. Good for her.
It's not bad at all. Go ahead, Condoleezza.
Do your thing, girl.
She'll be eating some $1.50 egg salad sandwiches pretty soon, baby.
Some pimento cheese.
Oh, my God. Yes, please.
Yeah. Well, I was going to get to this later in the show in my little golf segment, but the guy who is leading the Valero Texas Open right now, Akshay Bhatia, he was homeschooled by his parents so that way they could have him focus on golf.
You know,
and now I think that that's something that Joey and I should strive to be. Joey, you're a golfer now.
Well, Joey and I have any friends.
We're hitting the course every day.
You want to not have any friends? Kind of be every homeschool kid. I know.
Friends are overrated.
Every homeschool kid I know is a little, you know what I mean?
Like socially awkward.
You know what I mean? Like they're just like, okay, like you're cool, but. You can tell you don't hang out with many people.
Rashad,
if Joey could shoot a 65 on a golf course and be socially awkward, I would not care. I would give two Fs.
Guys, I used to think
my kid throws darts out there. I don't care if he so what? He can't hold a conversation with kids his age.
No. There's no problem there. I used to think that that was a thing, that homeschool kids were weird. But then the homeschool kid that I actually did choir with in high school ended up going to New York, becoming a model, having way more sex than I've ever had. So no, not every homeschool kid.
Not every, but I think that guy is more the exception than the
rule. I don't know, man.
Because a lot of the homeschool students that, you know, and mind you, I'm in an industry to where I work with a lot of students who have been homeschooled at some point and maybe looking for another school opportunity. I mean, nice kids. All, I don't think any of them are mean. However, like,
oh boy,
just saying.
This is Rashad Taylor saying this.
No, I'm saying it can be. It can
be. None of the parents are listening.
It can be. They know their kids are awkward. Okay, like it can be a little bit awkward. Fault. You're not the first. You see it all the time. And if you're a parent that's not awkward and you see that your kid is, it's like, ah, my son's a great kid. My son's a little socially awkward though. Just doesn't get certain social cues. Number one, because he's an only child, and then COVID came, and you know, there's that.
Well, so. I think all of our kids kind of took a step or two back on the you know, not being socially awkward phase when that all happened.
Yeah, wrecked God. This generation.
Oh, dude, that was well, I don't know about wrecked them.
I mean, as far
it ruined a lot, bro. It ruined a lot.
Their normal routine got totally upended for what, a year, year and a half in some cases.
Oh, yeah. Mine too. I mean, trust me, I was a teacher and a cook, and emotional support.
You're teaching homeschool now, Joe?
See,
how was that?
Hey, again, I've already done it, so why not just go full bore into it, Joey? You're a future professional golfer, whether you like it or not.
Not and, the answer's not that
you're gonna play 36 holes a day, and me, I'll also play those 36 holes with you.
Yeah, this is for you.
Yeah, whoa,
this is for you.
What are you talking about?
That would be this is for you, Dad.
Yeah, what is that old Bud commercial? This one's for you, like that this career's for you, Dad.
Yeah, this is all you.
I just want you to be like little Abigail Lynn here.
But I don't want Augusta. Your life. You know?
Too bad.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm trying to get to Augusta. I mean, we're trying to get to Augusta.
No, you said it right. You said it right. I don't know. I try to let my son choose his own path, but I think I might have to be more Joe Jackson and make him, you know, do something. So we've been working on hoop a lot more. He's getting much better. You know, we played with him once before, Joe. He was trash. But now he's actually getting much better.
Your son.
Well, no, my son is one of the smartest you know, young men. Like, well, he plans to be an engineer and everything. Awesome, go make you some money.
Oh, dude, yeah.
If Joey, STEM field?
Yeah, if Joey can be a pro golfer, be an engineer, for God's sakes.
I was like, man, do you, son. However, we are still young, and, you know, being social and playing sports is an important part of growing up. So I tried to make him, you know.
Join the engineering team.
Choose his own thing. Yeah, join robotics. Join robotics, you know, after school.
The engineering.
But yeah, he couldn't really dribble. Now he has a much better handle than he had. His shot was a little awkward. Now we've since fixed that a little bit. He kind of still goes into some of his old ways sometimes, but you have to be consistent. But yeah, like I said, me, Joe, a buddy of mine, and like our kids went to a park after a show one day. And Wallace Park, I think it was. Not too far from where we are.
My son is an idiot.
Oh, well, Jesus, suit. Like, yeah, that's not mine. But he's pretty up there. But when it comes to sports, like, he's, yo, bro, what are you doing? You know what I mean? He's not dumb, but he's sports dumb. Like, get out there, and it's like, bro, where are you going? Where are you going? Wrong way, you know, type thing. So, but we got out there and went to
Wallace Park.
Yeah,
I might have broken his ankles a time or two during that day.
Joey's nice, and Joey's, like, maybe 2 years younger than my son. And so Joey was out there. He's getting to the lane. He's, you know, he's doing his thing. My son just couldn't figure it out. Just couldn't, you know, figure out which way was up. So we've been working on that. And it's getting pretty good.
Well, Joe can take to the bank that he has broken his ankles a couple of times. Congrats, Joe, on schooling a 12-year-old.
I had to block Joey
once. I'll take
it. I had to block Joey once during that game.
You did.
And I screamed.
You had to send that ass back.
I had to let him know we weren't playing over here. And the goal was to make sure all the kids could kind of get a little tougher, you know, as they're out there playing. So it was fun. We need to do that again.
I had to break Joey's back emotionally the other day. We were playing some pickup, and he got me in the first game to 21. I'll give him that. And then we played 1-11 and won that one with a deep, nasty three with him, like, right in my eye. And that one will always hurt. The game-winning three, just to end it, just game over. I think even as I threw it up, I went, wow.
Now, the question is, on the first game, did you kind of give him some points?
Oh, like, I always
right, bro,
do.
Like,
and as soon as he starts talking ass, I remind him. I just say, like, all right, I'll go 100% now.
But now the score
and
is
like,
now the score is like 9-6 and you're down three. It's like, all right, man, he just needs a couple more shots.
And then he called me out because in the third game where we went to 11, he was saying that he's like, why don't you shoot threes? I'm like, all right, blah, blah. Blah, 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 nailed three in a row. Oh, no, he did not. Right after that last one, and that was to win the game, too. Just hands on the knees, looking down at the ground.
Yeah.
The surrender cobra shows up. Just, he was broken.
So now that my son can play-ish, he wants to horses what we do. Quick games, I'm going to try to be out here, like, all day. Cold. So
you dunk?
No, I don't. I just... A bunch of, you know, jumpers for the most part. And I try to take, like, far jumpers to give him a chance to get back in the game or anything. But once it gets, like, he has H-O-R or I have H-O-R-S or something like that, now he starts talking. Now it's
Horvus whores.
It's like, okay.
Did you call me a hoe?
Okay. And so then I'll have to – then I will do something weird like – dunk the ball or pat with both hands on the backboard and say, yep, you're up. You're
assert
next.
Assert your dominance.
Yeah, you're
just
next,
looking like
bro.
Vince Carter out there.
Yeah.
All right, let's get going here. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Got some championship games on deck. We have a city in turmoil. Actually, two cities in turmoil. Now that I look at my notes, we will get to some golf, but want to take a break and get to something here next and give it enough time. So we will do that. Sports Sunday, Joe Fisher. Rashad Taylor, 1080 The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All righty. Looking at the USC women's golf team right now. It's up and it's good. There's a couple. There was a Netflix documentary that came out years ago called The Short Game that follows some of these kids that are golfers. And now they're like old enough where they're now in college. So one of them is on the USC women's golf team. I have to look up the rest of them to see if any of these are any good, if they're like still playing golf, if they're good, or if they're just bums now like you and I.
I mean, hey, I make an okay living.
See, if Joey could get free schooling, I think mission accomplished.
We all end up as
that's
bums.
That's the goal. That's the goal for all of us, you know, as parents, is just make sure college is paid for.
Please, for the love
that's
of God.
It. I don't care what you do.
All right, but want to get to this. There's really no way to segue into this, and it's been talked about on a few of the other shows, and we've been we've known about this for a few months now, but it has just not been put out into the open. But a former host of this show, former host of the Hot Corner, former producer of Primetime, drop extraordinaire, guy that means so much not just to this station but to you and I, Rashad, Mike Lynch. He unfortunately has been diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and he finally went public on it about it the other day, I believe on Thursday or Friday, and let people know. And I mean, first things first, the support has been overwhelming. Already crushed their GoFundMe goal. They set it to about 15,000. It is now at $36,802. So just right there alone, just absolutely amazing the way that the community, whether Portland sports community, the broadcast community, the fan community, wherever you know him from, just amazing job so far, and continue to raise money for him. The GoFundMe page, it's been tweeted out by myself. It's been tweeted out by the fan, Isaac, Suk, whoever, you know, it's out there. I'll retweet it just so you, anybody listening can find it easily on 1080 The Fan. But, I mean, there's no Sports Sunday without Mike Lynch, right? There's not a Hot Corner without Mike Lynch. There is not the thousands of drops without Mike Lynch. But, with that being said, I mean, like, he is just one of the most genuine, thoughtful guys I've come across, and I'm just extremely happy that I've been able to work with him and have him as a colleague at any point in my life. Would always bring Joey into the station with me, and he treated him like a normal person, not like a kid, talking to him like a kid, like... He knew that he liked basketball and liked video games and liked sports, liked soccer. Joey and him could talk about soccer, where I was the odd man out on that one. And, you know, it's just absolutely gut-wrenching. And I told you the other day, Rashad, it's just hard to wrap my head around that this is happening. And hope to see Mike soon. I know that's a long process and there's a lot going on with him emotionally. But, yeah, I just want to let people know what's going on with him. Again, you've been talking to him for months now and you've known about this and just keeping in touch with him. And Rashad, you've, you know, been in this, situation with him, or this, show rather, Sundays for years. So you're very close with him at his wedding. And, so I can, you know, I can only imagine what you're going through as well, just because you and Mike were so close as well.
Wow. Heart's going to be
kind are of so close, rather.
Yeah, man. first I want to say, man, to the fan community, to 1080 The Fan listeners, man, thank you. Like, thank you for, you know, donating. I don't think Mike was expecting that. And, you know, we kind of had a text on Friday. He was just saying how he didn't know how much support he had. He didn't know how much, you know, people cared. And I was like, man, people love you, bro. Like, you've been such a huge part of this station since he was here, you know, since he was doing small stuff, even being producer for Dirt and Sprague, you know, at a point. And, you know, Mike's done everything. And for me, he took a chance on your boy, you know, when I didn't win Hunt for the Host. Like, I got third. I was supposed to be over. And because Mike was already doing a Sports Sunday show, yeah, I'll work with them. no problem. This guy that has no experience at all in anything, yeah, I'll take a chance and do that with him. And we just really were able to form a friendship that kind of, outside of this booth, you know, outside of the recording booth. And, you know, when I heard that he was sick or that he, you know, was going through ALS, my heart just dropped to my stomach, like a roller coaster ride just going down really fast.
You know, just to give you like a little bit of, you know, the background is like, you know, Mike, he talked about it in his Twitter post. He didn't really know at first. It's not like you just go to the doctor and they're like, you got ALS. Like it was a long process of a few months and he was telling you about this. And it was so just like not knowing what the hell was going on. I can't imagine what that's like for him. But again, just for you to be there and be that point of contact and a friend to talk to him and know about this. I mean, you and Patrick both, you know, that's how I was learning about this is from you and Patrick Harris. And so, it's just absolutely insane.
It's, you know, it's gut wrenching. Like it's one of those things because like you mentioned, Mike is arguably the nicest person that I know.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen him angry, but you know, even still, it was still like, Mr. Rogers got angry, like, gosh, golly, what the heck, you know, type thing. Mind you, it was definitely some curse words in there. But I don't know, man. I'm hurting for my friend, you know, hurting for our friend. You know, bad things happen to good people, and Mike is great people. And I'm hoping that we're all hoping for the best. And again, to the fan listeners, for the ones that have been rocking with us, you know, this is big. I keep telling Joe, this is 10 years. You know, I've known Mike now for 10 years. Like, I got a chance to start this show 10 years ago. And the day I started, I work in education. I found out one of my students had died in a car accident. My very first show with the fan. They had died in a car accident hours before. So in my head, I'm thinking about all the things I have to do when I get off of work or when I leave the station and everything like that. And Mike really held my hand that entire time through that show. And as it's already hard enough to do your first show and be kind of nervous and all that type of stuff, just, you know, he really kind of held my hand through it and, you know, kind of talked me through it and everything. And, man, I can never repay Mike for everything he's taught me and everything that I've been able to learn from him about doing this. And if I've gotten better at this at all, it's because I've really spent so much time with Mike, who was able to spend so much time with Isaac and Suk, and who was able to really kind of get poured into. So, man, to Mike, to his family, to Mr. and Mrs. Lynch, man, thinking about you, you know, praying for you, and you know, let's get through this, bro.
Yeah, and one of the best voices I've ever come across at this station.
He's made for this. Like, his voice was made for sports. Like, this is what he loves to, from his time at Syracuse and everything. When you hear Mike on the radio, it's professional, probably more than anybody else at this station. When you heard his voice, it was a professional sound. And yeah, it's tough to know that the thing he loved most, which is this, you know, is taken away from him. So, you know, I told you when I came in, Joe, man, I love you, my guy. Yeah, Jordan, love you, my guy. You know, we don't say these things enough to each other unless something bad has happened. You know, it's not just normal practice, especially as men, to just be like, bro, I love you and everything like that. But man, like me and Lynch only got to say that to each other while we were going through these really, we were both going through a divorce at the same time. So we were kind of there to support each other through that in certain ways. But it was never during the great stuff outside of, you know, the wedding that we got a chance, or during just the regular mundane Sundays that we would have in here. And so, man, tell your people you love them, check on them, because we never know, you know, what tomorrow can bring. And yeah, man, Mike, like I said, we all love you, bro, and we're all pulling for you. And again, man, to the listeners, I can't say how grateful, you know, I think we all are that you.
I mean, from Friday to Sunday,
that's crazy, 36,000
raised 36,000
in 2 days, like that's all y'all, and that shows, man, really the way Mike was able to touch lives, you know, when he was on air. So, man, thank you all. I truly mean that.
And let me just add to what you guys are saying, too, because Mike was just amazing to me when I showed up at the station. I think we worked together for 2 months before he moved on to his position with the Blazers. It was just so obvious that that guy, even from afar, put in the work. Not everybody knows, you know, behind the scenes, how much work really goes on to get a radio show on the air. But the producer is usually left with a big chunk of that. The hosts do the other stuff. And Mike Lynch, you could just hear it, was here every day. I was a listener to the station before I worked here every day. And I know what it's like to be a producer and to put that grind in. Joe, you do as well. There's just so much work that goes into that. And he showed up without fail with a great attitude. And I love Mike for that. And I love him as a person. And that is something that I hold in high regard of him. And it just, this news breaks my heart.
Well, what's amazing to see, again, is not only the donation amount, but I was going through kind of who was donating the other day. And it was so many people, obviously, that we know from the fam, but also broadcasters and Blazer broadcasters, writers in the area. But as I'm going through this, man, I mean, you got people like Ian Eagle.
Wow.
That's donating, awesome.
You know, so like it's showing the reach that this has had and the impact it's had on people's lives. And, you know, I don't know if Mike is listening. If he is, love you, man. Hope to see you at some point whenever you're ready. I would just like him to know that there is one person that I don't know personally, but I know of. His name's Tim Green. He's a Falcon, former Falcons player. I think it was defensive end. Also a Syracuse grad, mm-hmm. as well. And he was diagnosed with ALS in 2016, and he is still alive today. And he was a writer, an author, writing sports books for like middle schoolers, teenagers around there. And he's written like over 40 novels, still writing novels to this day, still getting out there, living his life in the way that he can. And so I just hope that although it's like the darkest time right now, is that know how many people love you, support you, and that you can still continue your life and find a way to go on. And I know things are tough, you know, can't play even video games, I'm sure. It's like just the basic things, obviously, in life, but the things that you love to do, like this job, right, are being taken away. But there is a way to continue on, and I hope that, again, that we can just see here soon, man, because I know that we tried to plan that, getting beers at one time last year, I think in like August, September, and it didn't happen. And now I'm just looking at it, it's like, damn, you know, just want to see him, just to spend a few minutes with him and hang out with him. Whether it's talking Yankees, watching Yankees, you know, watching Orioles, Syracuse versus Pitt, which is something we used to talk about a lot. Big East basketball. It's just, you know, it just sucks, man.
Yeah, it's bad. But, you know, hopefully there will be some good that comes out of this. And, you know, Mike is such a great person that, you know, why can't he be the one? And I think he can be, man. So, Mike, man, we love you. To Ashley, you know, who is Mike's girlfriend, man, thank you. You know, love you as well. You know, thank you for taking care of him, you know. And Mr. and Mrs. Lynch, you know, our hearts, you know, kind of go out to you and our thoughts. And so, praying for everybody involved. But get better, Mike.
Well, this is one thing that I know Mike and I have in common, and that is the hate for UConn Huskies basketball. And so we can talk about how UConn, damn them, are about to possibly win another national championship, but we got two national championship games on the horizon. One tomorrow, the men's, but then we have the women's game today. So let's go there. Let's take a break, collect ourselves, and get back into the sports stuff, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Love you, Mike. Here's Jordan Schultz, SportsCenter update.
All right, our national championship games are set in the men's and the women's.
Where do you want to start? You want to start with the men's or the women's?
Ladies first.
Look at you.
Man, chivalry is not dead.
You're such a gentleman.
My man.
Well, how about we talk about him not only because chivalry isn't dead, but because it was just more exciting in the lead up to the Natty than the men's Final Four. It just was.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Like the games itself?
Yes.
The games itself would have been awesome.
Yeah, the finish at the Iowa-UConn game at the end was ridiculous. That did it way more for me than the men's Final Four. That was crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, as far as the men go, you have two teams that are clearly head and shoulders above the rest of the field.
So. Well, the biggest story in men's basketball right now is the video of Zach Edey walking a girl into a bedroom. Literally, that's the biggest story. Instead of like what's going on the court, or
I'm not familiar.
Oh, go on TikTok or Twitter. There's a video circling of Zach Edey at a college party. What do you think he's doing, walking a lady into a bedroom with a couple of other girls behind them with their mouths wide open? And that's a big deal. And the fact that Edey can't get paid by NIL because he's Canadian. Like, I'm hearing more about that than the actual games. And Caitlin Clark, it's all about what's on the court, and I love that.
Well, I'm sure he was just showing her his YouTube highlight package video, so.
Oh, yeah, the comments saying, oh, so we saw somebody entering a doorway. Well, what? Come on, guys. Let's not be idiots.
Hey, man. It's knockdown city, bro.
Well, anyways, the women's games, the Final Fours, we had Iowa versus UConn, and then it was South Carolina versus NC State. I'll be honest with you. I didn't watch a lick of either of these games, but I did see that Iowa. I was keeping track of it, keeping an eye on it on, what was that, Friday? Question mark?
Yes. I believe.
What was I doing Friday? That's right. I was waxing my son on the basketball court myself. That's what I was doing. I was pulling my own Caitlin Clark, nailing threes from long distances.
That's wild, yeah.
Yeah. Calm down, all right?
Wild.
But Iowa, they came back in this game. I did, when I was checking the score, they were down in the first half. I was like, boy, if they don't win this game, nobody's going to be watching on Monday or Sunday. Excuse me. Today is the championship game at noon on ABC. I was like, nobody's going to be watching that. Well, sure enough, Iowa, they ended up pulling it out 71-69. South Carolina, they actually had a convincing victory where they didn't let the team crawl back in it. It looks like they kept NC State at arm's length the entire time. But Iowa, they win in what some people are calling controversial fashion. But quite frankly, I mean, are we this stupid? Are we this dumb about the ending of this game? Because the big play that everybody was clamoring and crying over was the screen. The illegal screen call that was called on UConn that then changed possessions and gave Iowa the ball.
With like 7 seconds left or so, 4 seconds left.
Something like that. Yeah. There's a lot of ways to start with this, is that it wasn't a legal screen. Let's stop. The game's not rigged. You know, I understand that it's, you know, hard to understand that, you know, oh my God, a foul was committed with less than 10 seconds left in the game and a referee called it. And I'm sorry, like, to the people that are saying, you got to let the players decide it at the end of the game. You can't call. Well, a player did decide it at the end of the game by setting an illegal screen.
They were moving.
Like, and not only moving, the step she takes to set the screen is a wide open step and left, leaning elbow into her, like, sorry. And why? Also, why are we trying to defend UConn in this? Like, why? Like, why are we trying to give? Like, we've seen UConn in a championship game a million times, so let's, you know, calm down. We don't need to see it again. And also, like, let's not just say like, oh wow, this game is rigged. Like, no, stop. All right, like, the whole conspiracy theory thing in sports now, where it, like, things just can't be. There always has to be some underlying motive. Agenda, something happening behind the scenes, like, well, they gotta let Iowa win. No, all right, the girl set an illegal screen, turnover, Iowa gets the ball. This is like when people are pulling the whole Patrick Mahomes thing earlier this year, when Kadarius Toney was offsides, and then he was bitching and moaning on the at the press conference. You can't throw a flag right there. That play was just really cool. All right, and you just got to let the players decide that, because that's a Hall of Fame player making
Patrick Mahomes' voice. I love it.
I like
that's
yeah,
a
that's
Hall
good.
Of Fame player making a Hall of Fame play right there. It's like,
I love that show.
So is there like a time limit on the clock that where we just stop calling fouls or take like we just
think depending on the foul. I mean, I don't know if a ref is call that foul, but you're absolutely right. It was a foul, right? It was an offensive foul.
I guess.
Regardless of what we want to say, it was an offensive foul. And, you know, I don't know. I think when you have a close game like this, like if they had been down 5, I don't know if anybody would have really batted an eye about it. But the fact that there's 7 seconds left with, you know, I think people were thinking overtime. Like the game had been so close because I did see some of the game.
An illegal screen at 5 seconds left in the game is an illegal screen with 5 minutes left in the first quarter.
It is, but, you know, there are these unwritten rules, and you're a baseball fan, so you love unwritten rules, right? There are these.
Calm down.
And
I actually hate unwritten rules.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm one of those people who's like, hey,
write them down.
There you go.
No, like, I'm the guy that says write them down.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I'm right with you, but it's kind of one of those unwritten rules. Like, that's a call that you don't make at that point in the game. Egregious foul, across the arm, something like that, push, sure. Travel, double dribble, sure, absolutely. But an illegal screen with 7 seconds left in a 2-point game in the final four, like that's not something you call right.
Why?
I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not saying, I understand why people are up in arms about it.
I don't get it.
And I understand why. I'm not saying it's right. Again, the first thing I said was what? It's a foul. Like that's kind of what it is.
And if this were,
but
the
again, those unwritten rules, like that's a we're not calling that at the end of the game.
And if this were the NBA, I think I would hear your point and absolutely understand it. But this is college basketball, right?
But this is the championship. This is the biggest part of college basketball. This is essentially the NBA. This is the Eastern Conference, Western Conference Finals, essentially. Like, and this is not something in that moment in the Western Conference Finals or Eastern Conference Finals they would have called.
But we know that the NBA, especially after the Tim Donaghy thing 15-plus years ago, we know that the NBA is a form of entertainment, more so than I think we would want to admit. The star players get foul calls, they get to the line all the time, and if you're no-name, you don't. I can't stand the thought that that kind of reffing is leaking into college basketball. I thought the whole thing about ladies and men's college ball, guys, was that the chaos reigns, was that anything can happen. This is chaos right here. This is a young person committing a mistake, and they got called for the foul. Why is anybody up in arms about that?
I just, like, really can't believe the discourse that has come from this. Like, sorry, like, do you want games called correctly? The whole reason Paige Buchers got open on that play at the end, where she possibly could have taken a jumper, a wide open shot, which also, keep in mind, wasn't guaranteed to go in. So it's like, you know, it's not like she made it and actually took the shot.
No,
but also,
and Paige wasn't having a great game shooting. So.
And also, she got open because of that screen. Like, because of the girl getting checked by the UConn player, the name's escaping me, like, she took a wide-ass open step to get out to that screen, to get to that position, and even chicken-winged her in the bot. Like, again, it was a foul.
It's tough,
like,
basketball, man. It's tough basketball.
Sorry. And
it's tough basketball.
The whole, we shouldn't call that, we should let the players decide this late in the game with the implications, and it's like, all right, basketball, I guess we're just going to change basketball just for a certain time frame.
If Pitt were in the Final Four, and you were down 2 points, and it was, or excuse me, 2 points at that point, and one of your players stepped out, so we'd be saying, oh, yep, good offense, Pitt. That's what we'd be saying.
You gotta be better. You gotta be better, Pitt.
No, that's what we'd be saying at that
point. It's unacceptable.
Point. So it's not our team, so it's easy to say that. But again, I understand as you're watching this amazing game, right? That's the call that it's the right call. Again, I'm gonna keep saying that. That was the right call to make. I also understand the other side as why they would be pissed. You saw this amazing game for an hour, two point game. With 4 seconds left or whatever it was, and that's the call that changed the game.
Do you think that call is made at any level 20, 30 years ago in the style of basketball, which was more physical? And
well,
I
know, but then again, that's what point is, I mean, that was 20, 30 years ago.
No,
where
no, no,
the game was more physical. So,
no,
I mean, it's.
No,
I mean,
but I'm saying, is this a consequence of the game getting less physical, or is it this moniker that, like, in the last minute, we really should let these people play, and that's kind of what I'm pointing out. Like, so in 99, 2000, 2002, when the league was more physical, even in college, would you have let that go in the last minute, or would you have called it compared to now? There's a conversation as to where these leagues are and the entertainment value, as Rashad just pointed out. This is like the East and the West Championship for college.
I think they let it go. Like, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I think that's a play, a screen. Mind you, dudes were screening with their forearms, you know, at
exactly.
a point. Exactly. Yeah, I think they let that go, and this much more...
Well, the Warriors have won 3 championships because of illegal screens.
Yeah, Draymond, I mean, nut-tapping guys. Yeah,
yeah. It's worked, but, I mean, now, they're still using the same screens. You know, some people are getting tougher and running through those.
Well,
you
poor
know?
UConn. I just feel so terrible for UConn women's basketball. Those poor...
The have-nots, right?
Poor Geno.
Yeah.
With all that being said, as the narrative goes, we get... what everybody wants. Iowa versus South Carolina.
Number one versus number one. Like, how could you be mad about that?
I mean, South Carolina trying to complete the undefeated season. South Carolina trying to avenge their one loss from last year in the Final Four against Iowa. Iowa trying to cap off their season and Caitlin Clark's career with a national championship. Like, the narrative and how this all lines up is... what everybody wants, and whether the NCAA was making the calls to the referee at halftime, you better let Iowa win this damn game.
And
I
so,
swear to God.
And here's the cool part: like,
do what you have enjoy, to. Call an illegal screen with 5 seconds left. I don't care.
Enjoy what we're seeing from Caitlin Clark, because be a fan now. Because as she gets more successful, and as she starts winning more, especially if she moves to the next, when she moves to the next level,
Big Three.
I mean, if she wants that $5 million, who's it? What's my man?
Ice Cube.
No, but somebody said they'll give her $10 million to play for their specific big league team, a Big Three team. I forget who it was. I want to say it was Dolph. Or no, not Dolph, but what's the other guy from Chicago?
If you're asking me about Big Three basketball and who's on what team and who's making decisions, you're asking the wrong person,
yeah,
buddy.
But either way, I think Caitlin Clark is going to get that Steph Curry treatment in a while. We love them when we love them, but once they start winning too much, like, this is irritating, and now we're over it type thing. So hopefully that doesn't happen to her, but I kind of see that happening as well.
All right. There's a men's championship game.
Oh, there's that too.
There is a men's championship game, which kind of like the women's game, I think everybody is getting what they want as far as the best matchup in the field. We'll get to that next. Men's national championship game tomorrow. Sports Sunday, 10:00 The Fan.
Rashad and I are trying to figure out how to go in on a timeshare together.
You in, Jordan?
What? Hell no. Absolutely not.
Between the three of us, we can make it happen.
Just got to sit through a 2-hour pitch. That's all.
And then they might give us free tickets to, like,
where they're going
to
berate
Jersey
you.
Jersey Boys or something like that.
Insult
afterwards.
You, call you out on personal
motives. Tell you how
motives.
Broke you are. You don't care about your children, clearly, if you don't buy this timeshare.
Oh, yeah. You don't care about the rest of your family.
No,
you're,
I don't.
You're cheap. You're a piece of S if you don't buy this
timeshare.
And give this creepy salesman some money. Yeah,
I am a piece of S, and I don't care about my family. Now, please give me that free vacation you promised. Yeah. I got a call, what is it, like a week or so ago, because at the Portland Golf Show, they got a few different of these things there. But when you walk in, you got to sign up to try and get some, like, golf giveaways, which, of course, I'm going to do that. But also, it's clearly to, like, let these other companies know, like, yeah, you can email this dude. Yeah, reach out to this guy. I got a call, like, 2 weeks ago. And the lady's just like, hey, this is blah, blah, blah from blah, blah destinations. You won a free vacation. Where do you want to go?
I won.
It was in that, like, literally, that's what it was. Where do you want to go? I was like, anywhere?
France. She's
like, and I was like, options? Like, oh, yeah, you can go here. I'm like, well, I would like to go to all those places. I was basically throwing it right back. They're like, all right, let's get to the point here. And then as soon as she said that, yeah, we would just need you to come in to receive the gift and you would have to sit through a 2-hour meeting with us. Click. I was like, yep, that's what I thought.
I mean, if that's it, couple hour meeting, I think I'm in.
But they say 1 or 2 hours. It turns into 5, 6, or 8
Sorry,
hours.
Sorry, I got to go after 2. You said two hours. I might give you 2.5. But if nothing else, I mean, I've wasted 2 hours doing less. So, I mean,
I very much want to give one of these a shot, because I remember going down like a rabbit hole on Reddit one time of people that it's like, it was on like Ask Reddit. It was like, have you actually sat through a time share pitch? and received the vacation or received the prize that you were promised.
I have.
I have as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is that I feel like I just need to bite the bullet for 2-3 hours at one of these vacation destinations that I go
to. It's a free vacation.
Yeah.
And then just, like I said, just deal with all the insults and all the just personal attacks.
Yeah.
I mean, for 3 hours and then end up signing on that contract and end up with a timeshare somehow.
You can sometimes get lucky and get somebody that has a brain across from you. It is not all idiots doing those timeshare presentations. It was like, I think in Cannon Beach, my grandma had a timeshare property at one point, and we got like a $100 Amex gift card to go sit through a presentation. It was,
oh, that's not good enough for me.
See, it was funny because it was a Sunday.
I'm gonna need like at least $500 Amex gift card.
Good
if
luck with
me,
that.
Sit through that.
Then they're gonna be a lot less nice than they were.
$50
to
an
us.
Hour to be talked to. Like, I'll take it.
Bring it on, bitch.
But you should have seen him. It was perfect for sports guys because on a Sunday it was an NFL game Sunday, and every single person was wearing their team's jersey. So it was like this all fun vibe, and we're like telling this person who's probably our age, it's like, hey, guess what? We're poor. We're here on our grandmother's timeshare. We're not going to get anything. You can try to sell us this, but this is how much money we make. It just doesn't happen. So give us $100 and we're out. All right. And that worked, but it doesn't work for everyone.
No, not at all. No, I did one in Las Vegas, and I think they said we can give you tickets to Lion King or
free show tickets.
And I was like, yeah, let's go to Lion King, man.
Yeah,
which
no,
was awesome.
I'm going to need more than Lion King tickets, my man. More than $100, and I'm playing hardball here.
Steve Kelly on YouTube says, girlfriend and I bit the bullet for timeshare pitch for free dinner while in Mexico. See, I'd be scared about doing it in a foreign country because I feel like they're a little bit more pushy than they would be in America.
Well, but, depends on the country.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I would, again, a free dinner, again, I need more.
So you said 500, Joe?
Oh, dude, I mean, I've heard of some of these timeshares where they're giving you a vacation or something like
that. Have you seen what that vacation actually is, though? Because there's been...
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of loopholes. You got to go during, like, the worst weather season. It has to be, like, a Tuesday through a Thursday
or something
like that.
That was the plot of I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
There's a
bad timeshare?
Yeah, they sent him on a bad vacation during the storm season, and then the murderer came to kill everybody.
This is probably a decade old now, but there was an investigative report.
I did
by,
not
like,
even know that's what that movie was about.
Yeah, neither did I, actually.
Yeah, go watch. I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Go check it out.
No, it's like ABC or CBS did an investigative report in the last 10 years about these timeshare. Actually, Joe, what you're specifically talking about, that free vacation call, right? And they kept looking, and they kept looking further into it. There was no free vacation to be had. It is literally a predatory pitch to get you in the building, and if you might be willing to pay different levels of money along with filling out different forms over a period of a few years, there's a chance that you'll receive like a voucher for a vacation, but it's very slim.
Yeah, I'm reading some about it's technically a free vacation, but the dates are super limited and conveniently never actually available. And there's fees and whatnot. See, this person saying, I sit through a timeshare presentation once or twice a year and end up with $300 gift cards. See? That's what I'm talking about. $300 gift cards for resort restaurants.
Thank you.
Let's say, that's an extreme couponer right there.
Yeah, but the whole entirely free vacation thing isn't true. I don't know. I'm going to start...
Joe's gonna start going to bust this around. Myth. Yeah.
I'm going to start living a glamorous life just based off of timeshare pitches and listening to them. What do you do in your free time? I go to
timeshare. I wonder how much
pitches.
Those guys get paid. Like, I mean, pitching the timeshares. I wonder how much they
Nothing.
Get paid.
It's commission-based. It has to be. That they look like the unhappiest people on this planet.
They got to be, I'm sure, pretty cold-blooded if they're doing those pitches. Well, just looking people in their face like, do you not care about your kids? Look at them. Look at their face. You don't want them to have something you can pass down to them and then
I'll look right in their face and say, man, F them kids. No, I don't care nothing about that. I'm not buying no timeshare.
You guys both know those are the kinds of like all call positions like they offer up on Craigslist, right? Like salespeople needed. That's how they get those peeps.
They say you got to be a cold-blooded killer if you get into that game.
That's why I'm taking a tangible gift. Give me the tickets to the Mariners game or to the, you know, to the play. I'll take that.
All right. Well, we have to sit through a game tomorrow for two and a half hours if you choose to.
We
don't get a vacation.
Speak for yourself.
We don't get a free dinner at the Ritz or something like that.
WrestleMania Monday.
But That's not a thing. I guess Monday Night Raw.
Absolutely. Yeah, after WrestleMania, yeah.
That's right. That is happening right now. I was considering about going to a friend's to watch day two.
I'm gonna.
But a nap sounds pretty good, too. All right, we're going to get to some college basketball. National championship game tomorrow. Men's side. Do that hour number two next. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.